Welcome back, friends, to the show that is all about friendship and connection. If you're new to Girls Just Want to Tell Stories, welcome. We are so happy you're here. Maybe you found us through Facebook or Instagram, or maybe it was Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or maybe a friend recommended this podcast to you. However it is you found us, thank you for being here today. We would love to have you subscribe so you never miss an episode or a story. Hi, I'm Janine.
And I'm Katie. And we're girls that just want to tell stories.
We're excited today to talk about and share stories about love. Who doesn't like talking about love, right? Young love, romantic love, familial love, and of course, our love of our friends. So we're excited to be with you today, and thank you for joining us and listening. We thought it might be fun to start with those early days to remind our new listeners, when Katie and I met, we were in middle school. So, you know, that ripe age of 12, 13, young girls, really anxious about love and what that can mean. And certainly there were a lot of crushes on the older boys, which at the time just meant like one grade ahead of you. They were the older boys.
We always loved the grade ahead of us.
Yes.
I mean, the boys in our class, they were always like your brother. At least in my opinion. I mean, I loved them, but not in the same way. But boy, the boys in the next grade up, whoa.
Yep. We had a trail of them. and you know, but when you're that age, at least in the era of the 80s, you know, there were a lot of kind of rules around when you could date. And so there was a little bit of secret keeping sometimes from our parents. You wouldn't really maybe let on if you liked a boy or you were talking.
Never.
Right?
Never. Yeah. No.
And I think that's where my first story I wanted to share or remind you about was in middle school with the boy that was, you know, in the grade above me. We were walking home from school and we were holding hands. And of course, my mom didn't know anything about this boy, and I'll keep his name anonymous, but she came driving down the road and saw us and slammed on the brakes. And my mom, Katie will remember, drove this humongous Eldorado Cadillac.
Yellow.
Yep. And she slams on the brakes and throws open the car door and yells at me, "Get in the car." You know, and I'm just like waving. And this poor boy is standing at the side of the road wondering, I don't know if this is a good idea to continue this relationship.
Well, I remember being in seventh grade and walking down the hall. And if you saw an eighth grade couple holding hands, it was like, whoa, they're holding hands.
Yeah.
I remember that was very mystifying to me. Yeah. And, you know, I was in awe of it.
Right. Well, and how much time do we spend obsessing over like your first real kiss, like the one that involves your tongue kind of kiss?
I was terrified. I had a couple of boyfriends in eighth grade and I didn't French kiss them. I was too afraid. I didn't know how. I didn't know what I was doing. And I think one relationship, if you can call it a relationship, broke up because of that. But I was just too afraid. I didn't have my first real tongue kiss until ninth grade.
Right. And I don't know, we put so much stock in it when really it's just like practice in those early days. It's really,
oh my God,
it's not really even that memorable for the most part.
Right.
But it's,
it's like the boys probably were as nervous too. Like they, I mean, likely were as innocent at the beginning as we were.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and then we, you know, so then we get into high school and I did start to have a serious boyfriend a freshman year pretty quickly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that relationship lasted all the way through my junior year, which is for, you know, high school, it's like dog years kind of a relationship.
Sure. Right? Yes.
But I, you know, and my parents knew about this boyfriend, but another funny story though, about this whole, you know, sneaky kind of thing. One night, so my boyfriend's, his best friend got a new car, a Chevelle, you know, which was like this really cool muscle car. And they come pulling up to my house and I really wasn't allowed to like get in somebody's car like that and go for a ride. Now, back then it wasn't illegal. Now it'd literally be illegal, right?
Oh,
for the driving laws in California anyway.
Yes.
So I don't say anything to my parents. I just walk out the front door and leave. and go for this joyride, right? We're just cruising around town. They bring me back. I think I'm, you know, stealth sneaking back in. And I encounter my dad, who had been in bed because he gets up early to go to work at the bakery. And he, that is the maddest I ever saw him through all of my high school years, because they didn't know where I disappeared to. And, you know, now I can appreciate as a parent kind of having a panic moment. And
oh, sure.
Yeah, he was ticked at me.
I didn't sneak out ever. No. Never. I live too far away. We're in the country. Well, who's going to drive that far?
That's true. That is true.
You're in town. It was a little bit easier for you.
Yeah. 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 And then, you know, and for us, though, we had our boyfriends. You had, you know, serious boyfriends in high school too.
And sure. Sure.
That tests a friendship, you know, in some ways, right? If the guys are in different circles or have different interests. And so I think
we did a lot of separate things because of that. I mean, we still had our together moments and being cheerleaders and stat girls, but yeah, a lot of the weekend time, I believe, was spent separately because of the boyfriends.
Right, right.
I don't remember ever being really jealous of the boyfriends per se, but I remember your high school boyfriend really, I don't think he liked me very much because I took time away.
Okay, you know? But the jealousy could have been the other way.
Oh, and sure. Yeah.
Trying to balance all that was, you know, at that age, everything is tricky because you don't know
right.
what you're doing.
Right.
But, you know, it's interesting how the universe works because, right, there is a very direct connection between my high school boyfriend and your husband, right? And
yes. Well, and we should probably share that story. Yeah, you're right. It's kismet or the universe, but here I am hanging out with you at your boyfriend's house with his older brother and the neighbor boy who happened to be my now husband's best friend. And so I met him at, you know, tagging along with you. Right. They were seniors when we were freshmen, and he and I were always friends, which I think kind of goes to the, you know, the love story, but also just having a really solid foundation in friendship with your spouse or the person that you choose to have a, you know, a long-term relationship with. Because when all of the, you know, romance and passion and everything else sort of not falls away, but, you know, becomes less intense, you know, you really do need somebody that you can just, who's your friend that you, that makes you laugh, that you have fun with, that you have common interests with. So, I mean, I was only 14 when I met my now husband, and I had no idea then, but we had a very strong connection from the very beginning. And he was always someone that I felt safe with and I knew would never harm me or hurt me. But, and those are like silly things to remember now. Right. But that's one thing that really sticks strongly with me. I really always felt that he had my back and I was safe with him.
And he was in the J9 thumbs up column because we were friends as well, right?
Yes.
So that piece from the very, very beginning was a connection that we all had, which is pretty cool. I know. And Katie and I both have started watching that Netflix show, Bridgerton, and, you know, which is all about coupling up and trying to find your perfect partner. And it did strike me the other night, the line in the mother of the main character told her, you know, if you can find your best friend and find love with that person, it's the most special relationship that you can really have. And I thought of you guys. Right. I thought of Joe and Katie. I thought they are a couple who their relationship was rooted first in friendship, and and then has been a really fun love story to get to follow along along our lives. So. Congratulations, Katie, to finding that special dude. Joe, we love Joe.
Yeah, well, in talking just about your relationships as you bounce from, you know, high school and then after high school, I mean, as we were talking before this podcast, I never really spent a lot of time single. I mean, I always sort of had a boyfriend and not on purpose per se, but I always just sort of found somebody that I liked and hung out with. Mm-hmm. And it's just been interesting, you know, then you and I move into, you know, we get married and we have time with our husbands, and then you end up, you know, going through a divorce, unfortunately. And so you had some time as a mature woman, single, and I admired you during that time because I think it's hard. The uncoupling piece is hard. And you sort of decide, you know, who your friends are and who's going to take this next step in the journey with you. But you were never frantic. You were never, oh my God, what am I going to do without a man? I mean, you really just forged ahead and, you know, you were a good doting mother to Connor. And I mean, you dated throughout that time. So maybe you can kind of talk about some of that. But
yeah. For sure. And, you know, to actually rewind a little bit, I did that in my younger years too, because after my high school boyfriend and I broke up, I had my whole senior year of high school and my first 2 years of college where I did not have a serious boyfriend, right? I dated, but that was a period of, you know, kind of discovering myself and learning to love myself and really pursuing my goals and my needs and putting those before somebody else's, which, you know, going off to college, that's a big time to do that. And then I did meet my, at that point, my future husband in college, but we were 20, it was our junior year. And then we did spend, you know, almost 20 years together. But I spent a chunk of time, and I think I'll wait, I'll hold that a little bit to a little bit later in the podcast, but I did spend a chunk of time years that I was not involved in a serious romantic relationship as an adult. And it was really a transformative period of my life, which, you know, much to the chagrin of some friends, not you particularly, but my mom and sister for sure were always like, come on, you know, like get out there, date, find somebody. And I was always like, I will when the time is right for that to happen.
Yes.
It'll happen. And it has, which, you know, I'm so grateful for now, but that time isn't a time I would ever wish away that it didn't happen.
Right. And,
so, but you know, you shared when you met Joe. And so when I met, Todd, we were in college and my friend, was his neighbor in college. And so she introduced us just in passing we were on campus kind of thing. And his friend was having a birthday party, a 21st birthday party. And we were getting a bus and we were going down to State Street in Santa Barbara. It was a big party. So who wouldn't want to go?
Fun.
So of course we go and we have a great time. And, you know, I spent most of the night kind of hanging out and around this new guy that she had introduced me to. And then we all go back in the bus. And like I say, she's next door and I lived a couple streets over. But we all end up staying there late into the night. And so I end up sleeping there. But literally in my fully clothed, including my shoes, right? So we're like, and everybody has twin beds back then. So we're like crashed out on this twin bed and nothing happened. You know, we just literally crashed out. And come to find out, and I didn't find this out till years later either. And Katie was sharing, you know, that she hadn't heard this story before, that he said if anything had happened that night, you know, that he probably wouldn't have called me for that official first date and continued to kind of pursue a potential relationship at that point, right? Because there really wasn't anything in the moment. So,
which is a huge point to a lot of young girls that maybe feel this pressure or this, oh, I have to do X, Y, Z on the first date or second date or whatever. And I just feel like, you know, when you know when it's right and it's okay to take things slow and steady, you know, it doesn't have to be rushed.
Trust me, he tried, right?
Well, of course he did,
You know, but, and then, you know, we ended up dating for a number of years and getting married and all of that. And I think this is another kind of testament to our, you know, the length and tenure of our friendship is that, you know, we both were in each other's weddings and have some funny stories there. So I don't know if you want to toss out any, you know, engagement, pre-wedding, wedding, post-wedding, any kind of stories about you.
Well, it's funny about the timing because you and Todd got engaged first. And I was like, dang it. Oh. You know, and then we ended up getting engaged just after you. And it wasn't like a competition, really. No. I mean, I think it was just that the whole timing thing, it just worked out and, you know, pieces fell into place. And so your wedding was in June. And so Joe and I were, you know, just not yet married.
Right.
And it was like this big party the night before your wedding and everybody was going out. And I thought, we're not going to go out. So you and I went back into the, what was it? The the wedding suite or whatever, super fancy suite. We're like, hey, see ya. You know, everybody went out. And then they roll back in at some, you know, crazy hours of the morning. And poor little Joe, he didn't have anywhere to go. So he, and we didn't know because we were like in the bedroom closed off. He ended up sleeping on the floor, kind of rolled up in a ball in the bridal suite with all, you know, us and the other girls. And we wake up in the morning and the poor guy was just so hungover. I mean, he just looked a wreck the whole day of your wedding.
And I remember him and he's not even on a couch or something. He's just laying on the floor and he's in a sports coat, right? He's got his sports coat on.
Just like your story. I think he slept with his shoes on. Right. Oh my God.
And I'm telling you, a lot of people got wrecked that night, you know.
Oh, yes.
People that normally don't indulge in, you know, maybe an extra cocktail or two, you know, a relative that she almost didn't make the wedding because she had to.
Oh, my gosh. I just remember seeing him for the first time actually at the wedding after the ceremony, and he was green. I mean, he looked awful. I'm like, dude, what hell happened to you last night?
Tequila can do.
That was fun.
Well, and I have to say, you know, the guys always kind of claim the fun bachelor parties, but I had a very fun bachelorette party that is memorable, partly because my dad's best friend, Pete, he had taken a school bus and redone it to make it like a limo bus. And taking a bunch of us girls out, right? Yep. Up to some, we started, I think it was like a Mexican restaurant bar kind of place, and margaritas and drinks and having so much fun. And we did a scavenger hunt. Do you remember that scavenger hunt?
I don't remember a whole lot from that night, to be honest with you.
Well, the two things that I remember, because there were tangible evidence the next morning, right? Was one, I had to get somebody to sign like right here, like where your collarbones are.
Sure.
Right. So I wake up in the morning and I have a Sharpie, somebody's signature across my collarbones. Okay. And then the other was I asked somebody and they gave them to me their pair of underwear. So in the morning, there's this like pair of underwear. And I'm like,
oh my God.
That's kind of strange. But my favorite part of the evening was you have these little moments of things you wish you could do because they, maybe on a movie or a show or whatever, it looks fun. And I don't know why this getting into a big fountain seemed like this really cool idea to me. And so in front of that restaurant that we were
I do remember that. You getting into you were getting in the fountain and dancing around the fountain. Yes.
Yeah.
And isn't that funny?
And that was, so Friends was going, the Friends show was on then. I don't even know if maybe because that was the whole fountain thing in their opening.
Right.
I did not think twice about it. Like in I went. And I'm still like, it's one of those things. I'm like, I'm so glad I did that. Maybe people wouldn't put that on their bucket list. I didn't have one, but I just decided to go for it. So that was kind of a fun one too.
Well, and part of the theme, I guess, for today with love is not only about the romantic love that you may have with a partner or whatever, but, you know, the love that you have for your friends, of course, carries you and sustains you all through your life. And then also a thing that's really important too is just loving yourself. And I remember when I first sort of, you know, became conscious of that thought, it seemed very foreign to me. You don't really ever think about it, right?
No,
Loving yourself or caring for yourself, and self-care and self-love are now, you know, kind of buzzwords that we hear a lot. But it's important. And I think a lot of people that maybe are in a relationship that's damaging to them in some way, then they do need to spend some time, you know, really caring about themselves and maybe digging deeper and discovering, you know, what it is, you know, well, first of all, I'm worthy of this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just really taking the steps to care for themselves. So we really wanted to put that out there too, that those are important pieces. Like you really can't be in a relationship fully functional if you aren't, you know, there present and loving yourself.
Right. Right. I found this quote this morning. So I always think that, again, the universe is speaking, and it was around, you know, don't change yourself so other people like you, be yourself so the right people love you. Right.
Oh,
so
yes.
You can't be
That's
yourself
precious.
If you don't know, if you don't take the time to get to know yourself, know what you value, know what you like, know what you want. And that takes alone time in some ways, and learning to appreciate who you are and your gifts. It does take time, right? And that's the gift of years of life and maturity and wisdom that can come. But a lot of us get stuck on the hamster wheel too, where we don't take the time to reflect and we just keep kind of charging on and maybe staying in that relationship that's not serving us anymore or not helping us grow and become, you know, fully who we are. And if we knew some of the things we knew now when we were younger, sure. there would have been sure. a lot less tears and heartache and heartbreak along the way, I think. But that's
well, that's and I think for me personally in a relationship now, I mean, I think this year we celebrate 28 years married. 28. I mean, even to me, that feels like crazy.
Yeah.
But I think it takes a little luck. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it takes work. And also just a little bit of luck thrown in. And, yeah. You know, not to say that we didn't have issues over the years, but it's you know, a testament to, you know, who we are. And again, the basis of this relationship really being bound in, he is my friend. He's someone that is a friend. And that's huge.
When I always like when I hear people say things like love is a verb. Right? Like,
yes,
love is an act. Love is a choice. Love is something that you can show to somebody. And so even looking at that beyond it being a feeling, you know, which
right.
is another way to categorize or how people might think about it. And I tend to kind of think about it in terms of the verb, right? And what it is it that, and sometimes we lose our way from that, right? And lose our, yes. our path. But and I know it was important for us in our podcast, you know, that's all about friendship to really talk about also what it is to openly express your love for your friends.
Yes.
And, you know, in an earlier episode, I think we talked about kind of that came easily when you were younger women and girls. And maybe that falls off too, but I feel like, and I don't know if it's this pandemic, I don't know what it is, but in the last several years, I feel like my friends are telling me they love me, you know, like, hey, girlfriend, love you. There's sure. a lot of that. And of course I'm sharing that back and because, yeah, why wouldn't I tell them that? These people are so important in my life and to me. And I want them to know because we don't ever know when we're not going to have another chance
yes.
to do that.
And I think that that's maybe the impetus for me personally is when you lose someone that you love unexpectedly, yeah. you really stop and think, wow, did that person know how much I loved them? So, I mean, that's, you know, the trials of getting older, right? But it also does give you pause to stop and say, wow, that, you know, you really mean a lot to me. I love you.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
very simple, yeah. but it goes a long way.
It happened yesterday. I had a client and when I asked her how her holidays were, she shared this very tragic story where her best friend had a sudden heart attack and died. And she's, you know, a young, you know, in her 50s. So of course, young in our standards.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
And it was just, you know, such a reminder that each day, you know, is a gift. And so, you know, for our listeners out there, we hope you will reach out and share your love through your actions and gestures, but also through your words with your friends and make sure that they know that you love them. So Katie, what do you have any fun plans for Valentine's or, you know?
No, we just keep it simple. We've always sort of kept it simple. We had, you know, my stepchildren were with us from the very beginning and Cameron came along really quickly. So a lot of Valentine's days were spent home. And I remember one fun thing that I would do, I would always make a heart-shaped meatloaf and I'd put some pink food or red food coloring in the mashed potatoes. So we would have pink mashed potatoes and a heart-shaped meatloaf because I thought, you know, that's showing love to my family. Right. And that was just really always a fun little thing. And then one year and when we were in Montana, we took Cameron to dinner with us. And so here he is, you know, we kind of, you know, went on this little date, just the three of us. And there were all these other young girls and they were all dressed up and it was cold, you know, February yeah. in Montana. And I remember Cameron saying, Mom, how come all these young girls are dressed up and you're not dressed up? Because I was like wearing a million layers. I thought, dude, because it's freaking cold outside. That's
right,
why.
Right.
Those are like the funny little memories of the recent Valentine's, but yeah, we'll probably just do something real simple. Maybe go to the beach. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
What about you?
I think most people are keeping it simple this year, particularly.
Oh, sure. Right.
Yeah. Well, we're actually kind of doing, maybe we're, who knows, maybe we're starting a new tradition, but last Valentine's Day, John was out of town with his son. And so I went to dinner with his mom and my girlfriend, who was single. The three of us went out to dinner on Valentine's Day and had really fun. We had a super fun time. And so when it came around this year, or you know, thinking about it, I said to John, well, maybe we should have Val and Fritz over for dinner with us, you know, because we were just planning on staying in. And he thought that was a great idea, which is a very kind, loving gesture on his part. Although maybe he's like, woohoo, I got three women yes. having dinner with me, right?
You know, but what a beautiful example of sharing love, you know, yeah. with your partner and with his mother and with a really dear friend. I mean, love extends yeah. all those boundaries, which is great. I love that.
It does. And, you know, maybe I think we'll share another point in time, because we're going to keep coming at you a couple times every month this year. The story of a second love, you know, second chance at love, and where I found sure. myself now, having a very loving partner and in a relationship that, you know, brings me joy every single day. So that's a story for another Yay. Time. But for Yay. This episode, we again want to encourage you to take time and love yourself. And, you know, and I think, gosh, I want to mention this. One of the most important ways to do that is think about the way that you talk to yourself, right? The yes. self-talk that goes yes. on in our heads. I mean, we say things to ourselves that we would never say to another human being. And so
or think things. Yes. Yeah. That's an excellent point. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah. So start there and be kind to yourself, and maybe loving yourself is going for a walk or having a cup of tea or whatever it is. And then also just be sure to embrace those people that are meaningful in your life, your friends, and of course your family as well. So don't be stingy with the love. That's give it right. out. Give it away.
And if any, right. And if any of our listeners have some great love stories or snippets, please, please share them with us. We want you to start reaching out to us. We have Facebook and Instagram, and we have an email, girlsjustwannatellstories@gmail.com. And we appreciate you guys being with us today.
And it's girls with a Z. So I've That's had a couple right. people like, oh, okay, girls with a Z. We got it. All right, girlfriend Katie, I love you.
Love you, baby.
I'm so glad we're doing this.
Me Take too. Care.
All right, friends, there you have it. You can find us, Girls Just Want to Tell Stories, wherever you stream your favorite podcasts. We hope you'll join us on this journey and share it with anyone who might find friendship and community within these stories. Thank you for listening, and thank you for being our friend.